Today I thought I would go down a list of way little things to keep in mind if you want to be creative for a living or just for a funning. If you want to do it, if you just want to be someone who's prolific who makes things. A little bit of a, it's like a extra for the main channel, which was about doing three things to get your dream job. I don't remember the exact title. I just title these things. I don't remember them. So I wrote down this little list of things I try to do for the creative life, the life of making things. And the first one, so these aren't in order of importance. This is just the list. Don't dwell on your creation. Basically, that's it. You know, you make something. I know people who've made things. You make one thing, and then you spend a year or two or several just promoting it, talking about it to people. Like, look at the thing that I made. And reveling in the compliments you might get from certain people. Dwelling in the pain and agony of failing at whatever it is you made. It's just one creation. That's all it is. You write a book and you fail. You're like, well, I guess I can't write. That's not true. It's not true at all. you paint a picture. Depending on the picture, I guess, and depending on the book, that's a smaller commitment. But you can't sell it, or you know, you put it up in a gallery, it gets a bad review or something. Just move on. You are not that creation. In fact, you are not any of your creations. You are you. And at least for me, and what I do, it helps me to not really. I mean, I do dwell a little after I've made a video, especially nowadays when it's a video that only comes out once a week these days. By the way, I'm going to reduce my schedule coming up. After August, I've been doing them like once a week. After August, it's going to be twice a month because I feel like I can have more time to to sweeten those videos. And I do feel lately like I'm pushing myself a little too hard. I need to scale it back. But anyway, yeah, because I make so many of these things, like I think in terms of. I don't think in terms of the one thing I'm making. I think about the next thing. I give myself a little time to be like, yeah, that's pretty good. People like that. Oh, it feels good to see people like the thing I made. Moving on, you know? Because you can get stuck. Anyway, next thing. Kill your babies. That's a common phrase, and it doesn't usually involve literally killing your babies. It means. Don't be precious about certain things. Don't, especially as an editor and a writer, when I'm writing a video and I write up a whole video and I go back, this first draft, and I'm like, oh, I like this part a lot, but something about this fundamentally doesn't work. I have to start over. I have to lose this part. It puts me off on the wrong path. Or when I'm editing, especially when editing. After years and years of doing this, it's so easy for me to just delete things now. Because when you're working on a video, maybe it's a big video, and maybe it's your first or second or third video, and you put a ton of work, all the things that led up to the point of this edit, this clip, this scene that's going in there, you wrote this joke. You remember where you were when you wrote this joke, how hilarious it was. You told your friends to read this joke that you wrote, and it's hilarious, and they laugh and laugh, and you get into the editing. And it just doesn't work. Or the video is too long and you have to cut some things. We don't have to. That's the thing. You don't have to, but probably should. Because sometimes shorter is better. Not always. But you have... Or someone else comes in. Like you have a supervisor of some kind who comes in and tells you they don't like it. You have to... And you're required to listen to them. Just listen. And don't worry about it. You are not that one thing you made. That is not a failure. Cut it. Cutting for brevity, cutting for structure, cutting for pacing. I do it all the time. I cut so many things. And you just have to learn to accept and remember that you will have more things. There is not a scarcity of ideas. You will have more if you continue to try. So just cut. Kill your babies. Or some things just legitimately aren't that good, but you just feel like you like them. You're like, I want to keep that in. But that's not reason enough to personally have a connection to it, unless it's like a deeply, deeply personal project you're making, and it's for specific people or something. Otherwise, if it's just for a general audience, cut it. Don't be precious. Because, if you want to do this for a living, it requires you to make things that people are going to like, and try to make it as good as you can for them. Three, blame yourself. That sounds a little harsh. Maybe not blame yourself. Take responsibility, I guess, is the nicer way to say it. Many things will happen that just won't work out. This is probably just good advice in general, not just for creating things, but and ask yourself what you could do to make it work, make it better next time, or this time if there's a way to fix it. Try your best to not blame others for it. Because if it's your project, ultimately, and even if it isn't your project, if it's just part of it is your responsibility, if you blame others for it, then you're kind of saying this is out of my control. You're kind of saying it's kind of like giving up. A lot of people like to blame YouTube, whatever system they're working in. YouTube is a common one for videos, of course, but a common one that people like to throw criticism at. I rarely do that. I think you can blindly blame this mysterious algorithm that is controlling attention, the trending page. There is definitely human interaction and curation going on at YouTube of some kind, probably. I don't know how it works. A lot of people don't know how it works exactly. But it's such an easy scapegoat to be like, well, my video didn't do well, it's because of the algorithm. Or it's because this kind of thing just isn't popular now. Everyone's talking about this other thing. Or someone else did something similar, so and that got all the attention. That some of those things might be true. They're probably either not true or partially true. And it's just pointless to me to just blame an algorithm that's out of my control. What am I going to do about that? That just seems hopeless. So what I do is try to think about what I can do better next time. How do I make it work? There's a way to make it work. People are making it work. So there's a way to do it. It's not entirely rigged against, because new people are cropping up all the time, especially if we're talking about YouTube specifically. New people are cropping up all the time. Of course, yeah, there's things that are frustrating. And there might be specific things that could just easily be fixed to make your life better that aren't necessarily completely destroying everything that you can complain about. I don't like to do that. In some ways it makes me seem like, I'm so responsible. I don't blame others for everything. I just take control of everything. On the other hand, it's also kind of selfish of me and egotistical of me to assume that I can fix it. So I wouldn't say that it's one or the other. It's just the way I like to do it, because it keeps me in control, makes me feel like I have control. I'm not going to give up. Next one, assume what you made is worse than you think. This is something that I think I've learned through experience of making videos since a little kid and writing, like the creative writing classes I took, especially in college. But also the videos I made, like my friends and I would make dumb videos together and we would find them to be the funniest things in the world. And then you show it to a neutral party. You could show it to other friends or your parents or just a room full of people and they only laugh a little. They don't experience the same. I noticed this the first few times I did this when I was really young. It's like, wait, they're not rolling over with incredible joy and laughter like we were when we watched it. What's going on here? It's because you're skewed. You're biased. You can't see it the way a general audience would see it because you're too close to it. You just can't. There'll be things that you think are incredibly funny, but you also have the knowledge of all the things that went into making that, and that's part of how it makes you feel. So, in general, I learned that I'm going to just assume, like, I think this is amazing right now, but I'm going to assume others are not going to think it's as amazing, and maybe they'll think it's terrible. Like, it kind of trains me to just think about everything I make as like, now what could be wrong with this? In creative writing class, especially, like writing a short story and then seeing the whole class tear it apart, you can really tell the diverging opinions and how one simple thing that you wrote can be mistaken in so many ways. I think the world nowadays, it's a lot more apparent because of social media, how people can take things that are said in different ways. But I think it's safe to assume that if something is incredibly funny to you, it'll probably be either not funny at all or just a few degrees less for others. So it kind of sets you up to not be disappointed and also keeps you on your toes to try to make things better. It's just generally the case that things that I love tend to, and then another case is like things that I don't really like and people end up loving, and so it's good to just reserve some of that judgment. At the same time, be judgmental. It's a tough balancing act. Anyway, and some things you don't think matter matter. Things like, if we're talking like technical details, like things that I never used to like to pay attention to. I'm going to just talk video right now, but this can apply to anything. Like thumbnails and titles, I never paid attention to early on because they didn't matter as much. Number one, they probably did matter. I just didn't pay attention because I didn't think they mattered. They matter more now. They probably mattered then. But, and thumbnails you couldn't even make your own thumbnail at first on YouTube, I don't think. And I just didn't. I just got in the habit of not caring about that. And when I would see, people started making them and I would see how they made them, I found it annoying and I didn't like the design of it, the aesthetic of it. So I just didn't do it. And then I slowly came around and started to realize, oh, they're not doing it. They don't care about aesthetic. This is just a very specific purpose. And it matters if you want people to watch what you do and the way you word titles. I mean, there's a fine line between wording something properly to get attention and just spam. But there's an art there. But I just didn't think that mattered. That's one example. Fidelity of your video, like how good it looks, how good it sounds, like the best, using the best equipment, the best lighting. I don't think fidelity really, ultimately, if you're looking at this as objectively as possible, doesn't matter. As far as, unless you're doing a video or painting or any kind of art or whatever, that part of the content itself is about the quality of it. Like slow-mo guys. They have to have really good cameras to do the really good slow-mo, and it's all about the visual quality of it. That's the entertainment, is like, whoa, look at that. And you want to make sure what you're saying is clear and that the purpose is coming across. You don't want to distract with horrible audio, horrible video, but you don't need the best. And if there is like a bit of flaw, a few flaws here or there, this was the next thing on the list. Some things you do think matter don't, but I'm just doing them both at the same time. Don't quit. Don't like break your back over having like, you know, a little audio flub here or there. Most of the time, that doesn't matter. When you start making videos a lot, and you start editing a lot, or writing or whatever, when you do it all the time, and you start looking for those things, you notice them everywhere. You notice them in movies. You notice them in places. You do not think have mistakes. They're everywhere. People make them all the time. Most people don't notice. Most people don't care. When people are watching something, or reading something, what they want is the content, is the purpose of the thing that you're making. That's number one. And if that's coming across, you're gonna be fine. You're gonna be fine. You might have a few technically minded people in the comments who will point things out and might be upset. I'm sorry if that upset you, but that is not the majority of people. Next thing is go down rabbit holes. Research, read things, write things, do things that seem completely irrelevant to the thing you're making, or not completely, maybe, but like as far away as you can get. Like, if it feels like a waste of time when I'm doing research, when I'm reading articles, when I'm watching movies, I learn. That's how I discover things, is by going into the weird rabbit holes of the internet or weird topics of conversation when I'm interviewing people. You never know what you're going to find. And it's not a waste of time. Assume the audience is smarter than you. I get into trouble sometimes when I make like very, obscure references, like deep cuts to things. I don't assume the audience, everyone's going to know what I'm talking about. For the people who do know what I'm talking about, I think it's going to be hilarious and enjoyable for them, especially because not everyone will know what I'm talking about. And two, I think most people will understand that it is a reference, whether they get it or not, and they'll be fine with it. That's why I will assume that they're smart enough to know that that will be a reference. Assume the audience is smarter than you, because there will be some of the audience that is smarter than you. And by and large, most people understand things. They exceed my expectations in what they understand. Almost even to this day, even when I know to expect it, like people get it. People get what I'm trying to say. No matter how inartfully I try to express something, most people understand. Most people, you do have to try to be, exact with your words. You don't want to say the wrong things, because you can get into trouble, because not everyone's going to understand. Some people will misunderstand. But most people, I'm always surprised, they get it. They get the jokes, they get the references, and even if they don't, they get the underlying argument, if I'm trying to express something I'm going through or whatever without saying it, sometimes people guess. Some people get it. So you're not going to be able, I don't think you can hide things as well as you think you can. So assume the audience is smart. And also, this will go into another thing on the list, but if you're not genuine, they're going to know. Some people are going to know. The more genuine you are, the more people who will enjoy what you're doing. Because people like people to be genuine. They like to know that the thing they're experiencing is real. Think long term. This goes sort of with don't dwell with your creation. Don't dwell on your creation. But when you make a thing and it's doesn't turn out as good as you want, again, don't quit. Think long term, but also don't just think about the next video. Think about why you're doing this. If you want to do this for a living, think about if you are going to be a person who does this for a living, who makes things. I try to think about where I'm going to be in 5 years and 10 years. I leave room for a possibility in my mind of possibly hundreds of things that I will make that I don't know. I don't know what they are yet, but I picture myself as someone who is making things on an ongoing basis. I don't picture myself as the person who made this thing I'm making right now. And that helps me get through everything, because you can get really bogged down in the weeds with a certain video. It can be really hard, really an obstacle you just can't get past. It'll help motivate you to get past it, regardless of how good it is, to let go of perfection, to just be like, well, if I'm going to be someone who makes things for a living, well, I have to finish this thing, otherwise I will not make another thing. You could just quit and walk away from the thing, depending on how deep into it you are, though. I mean, I usually just try to finish it. That's probably good enough. Think long term. You are not the creation you're making now. I think you kind of are what you will be making on a long going, on an ongoing basis for years and years and years. That is you. But that one thing you made, that's not you. Finally, be honest. And you know, unless the goal is like to trick people, like Lonely Girl 15, or is it 15? Lonely Girl, I think that's what it was. Early on, they had that fake video blog. Turned out that people thought it was real, and then it turned out fake. Although they were ultimately honest. So, in general, be honest. Be genuine. I mean, you can make fiction, but be honest in the fiction. Don't try to bend reality or do things that seem inauthentic. Even when doing fiction, things can still seem forced or not right for the situation. And when you're writing fiction, if you really put yourself into it, if you really put your thoughts, your beliefs, what you're going through into the work as honestly, boldly, and honestly as possible, it'll probably be more engaging, at least. But if you're doing something like this YouTube thing that I do, whatever you want to call this, don't hide behind narration. Don't hide behind jokes. I make a lot of jokes, but I try not to hide behind them. I try to reveal exactly what I think all the time. Because people can tell. Even when you think they can't tell, they can tell. Or maybe they don't even realize they can tell. They just have this unsettling feeling when they watch you, or there's something off about it. They're just not fun or not enjoyable about it, and they don't know why. And often, if you really think about it, it's because the person isn't being real. The person isn't being genuine. I was just watching, in the background, I was watching an episode of Undercover Boss. Which I was thinking as I was watching, I've never watched much of it. I was just like, let's just check this out. I was thinking as I watched it, like, this is something that potentially, if this were a real thing, if this were genuine, if they're being genuine about this, this potentially could be good for the world. It's a good experiment to have someone who owns a company who's distant from the actual workers working on it, who learns what they have to go through. That could be great. Actually, going undercover, maybe not so great, because you could probably lead to, that's just kind of unethical and could lead to people getting fired or whatever. But like actually going and doing the research, doing the work that your workers do, to help help appreciate it more. I think it potentially could be good for the world, if it's genuine. And it's hard to tell with reality TV what's genuine. I think most of it probably isn't. As an editor, it's always annoying to me to see, like, the editing tricks that are done to amplify situations in ways that feel inauthentic to me. And get that feeling when I watch stuff like that. Like, there's something off about this. Because, I mean, I've edited reality situations many, many times. It never works out like this, you know? But this one episode was the CEO of... What was it? Some sort of... Was it an insurance company? I don't know. But he went and he sat down and with someone who was in the call center. And she kept not... some of you probably saw this episode. Not closing. She kept not getting them to say yes. She would allow them to say no and she wouldn't push them very hard. And then they'd hang up. And then the boss got really mad, really upset that she wasn't following that, the directive, which was like, don't accept that. Don't get them to say yes. And he blamed the training of the whole call center, and he went and talked to the manager there and got mad and then, like, stormed out in this really angry way. And he's like, get me out of here. He said, get me out of here. Which, just that line itself was like, that seems like too much. Would he actually say, get me out of... He's doing it because there are cameras on him. Could be doing it out of just from his own performance. He could have just thought that would make for better moment in the show, or they could have just set the whole thing up. And then he gets in the car and he's like, I can't believe it! And he takes his hat off and he throws it on the seat. The camera sitting next to him, perfectly framed. He decides to wait to get into the car and just have this outburst. You know, appears like they'd been driving for a little while. They weren't, like, pulling out. And he's just sitting there, and he's like, I can't believe it! And he pulls his hat off. And it just didn't feel like a natural moment at all. It felt very set up to me. And I hate it. I hate that. I hate the fakeness of that. We have all these cameras. Everyone has TVs in their house. We have an opportunity to really learn something about each other. And we make this fake crap because it gets more views and more watchers, because if it's not dramatic, it's more boring. If it doesn't fit tightly into a narrative, it's more boring. It's boringer. That's just the nature of how things get noticed. The alternative would be to have, you know, someone... We do have PBS, I guess, but the alternative would be someone, which also still has to play the same game, but to have a group of people curate and tell you what to watch, which that's not a good alternative either. I don't know what the answer is. But I wish we'd do a better job of capturing actual reality and making it interesting, rather than trying to fake it to make it interesting, because it's easier, more cost-effective. Anyway, the point is, you just be honest. For the good of your content, it'll be better. It'll be people like genuine, and also it'll be better for the world. Doesn't work on TV. Maybe it would work. I don't know. If we could have... There are some examples of good reality situations that seem real. I don't know what they are. I can't think of one off the top of my head, but I think there are some that are on TV. For some reason, it's harder to get that on TV. Well, probably because of all the people involved and all the money involved. YouTube, you have the opportunity to just be honest, because it costs nothing besides getting a camera and internet. Well, you can get internet free technically if you go to a library, but a lot of libraries are closed these days. It costs a little, but you have the opportunity to just be honest, put things up, which I think is better for the world. Anyway, that's my list. How are you? The camera's about to stop in 10 seconds. I think we're going to be done. I make these kind of videos every single weekday on Patreon. They're a little bit shorter. And Wheezy Monday playlist. It's going to be half hour.